love winds. I'm living through the love winds. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast with yours truly, Emma G. Now, if you are new to this space, I am so glad that you have found me because this isn't just about me. This is about you. This is about your teenagers. This is about me chatting with experts, unconventional experts and coaches and mentors and therapists and authors from all over the world who excel and specialize in working with your teenagers as we navigate 2024 and beyond. I'm going to sneeze. Oh, this is bad. Now, the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast is, of course, in support of my book, the Reconnect with Your Teenager book, the how-to guide on how parents can use songwriting as a means to help their teenagers express themselves, which is important. But I also know that not everybody is a musician, not everybody likes music. So that is why I launched this podcast, so I can speak to other people who may do things a little bit differently when it comes to raising teenagers, but nonetheless are effective at helping parents like you to really reestablish that beautiful relationship with your teenager in 2024. Today, I am joined by somebody who is a little bit different, I think, than what I usually have on this show, because Kurt Manick, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope. He is an author of a book, an award-winning book called Smile, which is all for helping teenagers. Well, it's a series, right? Isn't that correct, Kurt? You've got a number of books that focus on the impact and the relevance and the importance of basically mindset and how we show up for the world. So I'm not gonna blab on too much longer. Please say, welcome, Kurt. This is awesome to have you here. Please tell me a little bit about who you are and what your Smile mission is all about.
Thank you for having me, Emma G. I love your energy. And Smile and Succeed for Teens, Must Know People Skills for Today's Wired World, is a crash course in face-to-face communication, and it really covers a lot of social skills, career skills, a lot of just certain things at work where if teenagers get a job, they can avoid doing what turns customers off, but they can focus on doing what brings customers back and what really makes employers happy. My first book is called Smile, Sell More with Amazing Customer Service, the Essential 60-Minute Crash Course. And that's more for like college graduates and adults. But Smile and Succeed for Teens is for all young adults, even tweens and below. You know, it's like a fourth grade reading level. So it's easy for teenagers and tweens to read.
I love that. I mean, my whole philosophy, and I don't know if this is because I'm from New Zealand or just because I just was born a positive person, but there is nothing more powerful, in my opinion, than a smile. I've written songs literally about the power of the smile. You've got so many books about this. You've got Smile and Succeed for Teens. You've got the Teen Success Kit. You've got Teaching Guide for Smile and Succeed for Teens, a Parent's Guide for Smile and Succeed for Teens, on and on and on. You seem really driven towards the smile mindset. Can you tell me a little about what got you into this line of work, specifically focusing on the power of the smile?
Yes, I can. I have my first book, which was a crash course in customer service and sales. And I had so many teachers and moms come up to me and tell me that, you know, you have to get this book in the schools. It's all the people skills kids aren't learning. So that's a big reason why I wrote Smile and Succeed for Teens. And I knew it too. You know, I noticed when I'd walk in different businesses, if there was a teenager there, they just didn't seem comfortable with the social skills. So I thought, well, let me give them a really quick, easy guide that will give them confidence and give them some of the words to say. Because when you get a job, normally that the employer doesn't train you in the social skills. You're lucky if they train you in some of the kind of just fire. So I was very shy, and I really wanted the teenagers to gain confidence from the material, yet make it really quick and easy to digest. And I have to tell you, Emma G, I feel the same way you do about a smile. And that's why in both of my books, I have a smile on the very first page in the very first chapter. Because I thought, if this is all people get out of it, to smile and greet that customer or greet that friend, as you know, that's huge.
You seem to be very, very, like, it's not just about that first impression. It's about, you know, using, you know, utilizing that energy that you're putting out in the world to maintain friendships, to, you know, keep your job, to, you know, really make a difference in the world. Is there something that you sort of became aware of because of your own experiences? Is there something that you have specifically seen in your teenage children? Like, what was the thing that really kicked off this mission for you?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, volunteering, I think, is so important for teenagers for a number of reasons, to give them confidence, to help them give back, to meet friends, have some skills to put on their resume. But when I was a teen, you know, I started volunteering. And then when I was in college, I volunteered at the Humane Society, walking dogs on my day off, you know, once a week. And I really got a lot out of that. And it was very eye-opening to see what happens when you engage with customers, how they, in this instance, they adopt more animals because you're there to talk to them and you can guide them to the right animal, where if you weren't there, they would have left. So it kind of just really galvanized the importance of social skills and the importance of giving back. You know, there's so many young people that can help so many good causes. So I think that was one incident. Another incident was when I was 6, if you can believe it. My mom was shopping for my dad for Father's Day. She was looking for tools at Sears. And the gentleman was so rude, I was shocked. And even at 6, I remembered my mom asking him a question, and he totally ignored the question and was just trying to sell her some kind of tool that my dad didn't even want. And I thought, someday I'll never be like that, but someday I'm going to get some kind of training for people so they become good, friendly salespeople, not like that gentleman. So a couple of those things, those experiences, really shaped what I produced, including my online course, you know, which I've just tried to make my resources available in all types of versions, editions, whether it's online, ebook, print book, audio book, however a teen would want to digest it.
So why teenagers?
Well, you know, when those moms and teachers told me I had to get the book in the schools, I thought, you know, my first book is called Smile Somewhere with Amazing Customer Service. Except for business classes, I thought it'll never get in the schools. And then I started remembering how, you know, I had gone into so many businesses and the teens just were not, and I'm not blaming the teenagers, I blame the employers. The teens were just not prepared. And I'd walk my dog in downtown Milford where I lived, and all the teens would be on their cell phones. They didn't seem to be connecting with each other. So I thought, what if I give them a quick, easy, really short book that they can read in 60 minutes or less? Then I spent 9 months meeting with teenagers, even though the book is based on my first book. I spent 9 months meeting with a great group of teens to make sure they would read it. And at the end, I told them, I said, would you read this? And they said, well, yes. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, it's short and it has things I need to know. So it's very teen, it's teen tested and teen friendly. And I think teens need the help. I think some of them don't get it at home, the social skills or the work skills. And then some don't get it in school. And just like you or I, it's always helpful to get some extra tips. And I think every sentence I wrote in my books, I thought in my head, this will give that teen confidence. And I really wanted to give them the confidence to go out, make a friend, greet a customer, feel comfortable at work, not be nervous, because I was nervous when I was in middle school. So just, I thought if I can help in any way, give them some confidence, it'll hopefully be a big life changer for them.
I love that. I say that all the time in my vocal clients and in my songwriting clients, is that sometimes what we just need is that little extra support when it comes to, you know, not just knowing ourselves better, but then once we know ourselves, being able to express that properly and with confidence, and then, you know, learn the languaging around how to do that. And I think, you know, from what I see here, you know, you've got you've sort of ticked off some core important issues that I cannot, you know, of course, I can't believe that we don't teach our kids, like the simplicity of dealing with stress and why it's so important, and how to do it, how to make friends, how to, you know, have etiquette with, you say electronic etiquette, I'm sure you're referring to those fun pocket-sized computers that we have.
Yes.
You know, but those are all things that we kind of, we don't really think about teaching. We're quick to blame and quick to punish as a society. Whereas, like, I have the opposite. Like, I tell my kids to use their phones when we're writing songs together, because they have access to the internet. If they can't find a word in their minds, maybe they can go to thesaurus.com or rhymezone.com, sure, to help them with rhyming. Or even, and I don't know if you can relate to this at all, I've started incorporating AI into the songwriting process to help teenagers understand how to connect their thoughts and feelings and ideas into, you know, into words that make sense, into full sentences, you know, into actual lyrics.
I like that.
But, you know, to your point, when we don't have that support for how to navigate our electronic devices, we're just leaving our Gen Z floundering, almost, you know what I mean? So have you, so as somebody who, like, you know, you write the books, you also have the online courses, you've got audiobooks available. Have you seen much specific impact that these resources have been having on the community?
I do. You know, I get a lot of feedback from teachers. It's interesting because I don't know if you find this with your excellent work you're doing with the songs and giving teens confidence, but, you know, I have these resources, but I'm not necessarily there where the teen is. You know, I'm in Michigan, so I might have a teacher with 50 books and a teaching guide, or a parent with the parents guiding the book, and they're in Colorado or New Mexico or something. So I normally will hear back a lot of times with teachers. I just heard back from a special education teacher it was Arkansas the other day. And she said, I see the difference already. My students have great eye contact. They have a lot more confidence. They have better manners, and they're not on their phones all the time, because nobody has really ever told kids, I don't think, like, when it's appropriate to be on your phones, which is great, and then when not to be on their phones. For instance, when you're conversing with somebody face-to-face, at church, at the dinner table, at a restaurant. How many of us have gone into restaurants, Emma G, and the whole family's on their phones? And that's where you want the parent. We want the parents to be good role models also, I'm sure.
It blows my mind. I am. I'm just going to pick on that one comment for 1 minute. There was a study that was conducted a few years back in restaurants that noted that restaurant wait times have tripled since the invention of the cell phone, because social media on our cell phones. Because now when people go to restaurants, they don't sit down, look at the menu, have a conversation, order food, eat and leave. They're spending an exorbitant amount of time taking pictures of themselves, of each other, of the food. Is the lighting right? Like, you're completely right. The communication levels has significantly decreased, and our abilities to maintain eye contact and actually have a conversation, it's incredible. It's incredible. But I totally agree. When we have those, you know, those resources and boundaries, but also the toolkits, if you will, to help our young people recognize what's appropriate and how to conduct themselves effectively. That's huge. That's huge. So you've been working with people from Colorado to Arkansas. You're in Illinois. Is this book something that's global? Are people, resonating towards this across the country or across the world? How are you navigating I say cultural differences because, obviously each state is also very different in how we raise and educate our young people. How are you navigating that with the Smile Movement?
Well, that's a great question. Most of my books are sold in the United States, but I do get the busy schools in Australia is using them. And I'm on Amazon, in New Zealand, I think it's Amazon UK, Amazon. I'm in all different countries on Amazon. So I'm getting sales and my book is in some distributor in China picked it up and they translated it into Chinese. So, I haven't changed the message and you make a good point about the cultural differences. I think with my book, everything is so basic that I don't know. I'm not an expert on it. I don't know if it changes that much between countries because I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, I could be, just basic manners like you mentioned, smiling at somebody, making a friend, saying please and thank you. And I teach in my books, it's just really basic. How to answer the phone properly. If you're with a customer and they say thank you, you smile and you answer you're welcome. You don't say yep, you don't say no problem. So I think mine are so basic. Hopefully they translate okay in the other countries, as far as the cultures, but I'm not certain about that, but people are buying them. So I think they probably modify. That's what special educators do too. They tell me, well, we modify yours a little bit, but it's got the basics that the kids need, the students need.
It's fascinating to me because I was raised in New Zealand, and by the way, we don't have Amazon in New Zealand. I'm very upset about it.
I wonder they do, about that.
Yeah, they do. They do often. We do often buy from Australia or whatever, but it's
okay.
It's not really worth it half the time because the shipping is crazy. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I was raised in New Zealand. My mother is from Pennsylvania. My father from Fiji. My mother's mother is from Norway by way of Iowa. And then my mother's father was from Iran. The reason I'm saying that is because like you, I'm very big on the smile. I started my career here in the States as a street performer. And my whole thing was I just want to make people smile. That's all I want to do. I don't care if I make money. I just want people to have a good day because, this was back in 2016. It was a bit of a crappy, it was a tense time to be here, especially in DC. But there are some cultures that smiling is a little bit kind of confrontational. In Iran, for example, this is not a smiling thing, but in Iran, if you have your back to somebody in a social situation, that is incredibly rude. Incredibly rude. In Somalia, for most European or Western ears, their conversation can sound super aggressive when in actuality, they're just talking about, lunch plans. it's a whole, so the cultural dynamic around our body language is a fascinating concept. But I think that smiling, generally speaking, is that one consistent, now you're good. keep doing that. I'm fascinated to learn more about how that's impacting your work with the teenagers around the world.
Like I said, I'm selling in the United States, but I do sell a lot in the UK. And I did look up New Zealand a couple months ago for Amazon, and I couldn't tell if they had New Zealand or if they were sending you to the UK or Australia because it was so confusing for the Amazon site it was on. So I apologize. I thought they had New Zealand, but around the world, I just don't get any feedback. When you sell on Amazon, you don't know who's buying it. They don't give you the person's name. So you're at a loss. You never hear back. So maybe the people are happy, but maybe they're not with it either. So
yeah.
I haven't got the returns. So I think for the most part, like you said, I think for the most part, probably most of it translates, and people probably modify it for, you know, their own teenager in different cultures, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. So you also have like audiobooks, which is awesome.
Thank you.
Love to hear the Mandarin version of that, if that's available in China. That'd be cool. You also have classroom packs. What does that mean?
Classroom pack, that's a great question. Thank you. A classroom pack is where an educator, like a teacher, can purchase a classroom pack. What happens, they get the book at a discount because they're buying it in bulk. So instead of $14.95 for just one book, like if it's a classroom pack of 25 books, that might be $11.95 per book. So they'll get 25 of the books at $11.95. And then they'll get a free teaching guide with it. So it makes it really easy for any teacher to open the guide and just start teaching, have the students start reading a page or two. And it just is a way to get it into the schools in quantities that they desire.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Do you go and actively, do you speak on these things at schools yourself? Do you go in and do any coaching as well?
I used to do a lot of that, but now it's really after COVID, it's been totally different with the schools. You know, because of the pandemic, I created my online course, two versions, one individual, one for the like homeowner, the family that just wants to help their teen, and then one version for the schools. So it's different. It's like teachers, I think, are still trying to catch up, and it's really hard to even, a lot of teachers I never even talk to now. It's really hard to get a hold of them. It seems like they're still catching up from the pandemic. So I haven't done much of that lately. It's been more with the online course and like we're doing now, podcast webinars. I do a lot of classroom webinars, social, like a 45-minute social skills presentation. And I enjoy that because you can talk back and forth with the students. And again, you notice that they don't have the confidence, but you can give them that confidence. You know, some of them will say, well, I don't think I could ever do that. And you can do it. I mean, they need, I think all teenagers, all students just need somebody in their corner to give them a little push, because just a sentence or two can change somebody's life.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's I want to pick on the confidence thing for a minute, because one of the things, so my husband is a Krav Maga self-defense instructor, and his whole thing is about developing confidence in his students to help them, you know, overcome or at least thrive in chaotic situations. Living in America, it's kind of important. He often talks about confidence being like a muscle, right? And, you know, a muscle is something that cannot get stronger unless you work on it every single day. So are there any kind of tips or tricks that you can kind of give our audience to share, like how we can flex our smile muscles and flex our stress reduction muscles to help us thrive more effectively in society?
Yes, and I love that your husband teaches that. I think that's so important for confidence for kids and probably adults too. But a couple things. I think I always tell teens, don't listen to those negative thoughts. It's just a waste of time. We all have them. So tune them out. Don't listen to those negative thoughts in your head. Turn them into positive thoughts. Yes, I can do this. Instead of, oh, you're no good, you can't do anything. Yes, I'm good enough. I can do this. Smiling, you know, even if you're not in that mood, if you see somebody, let's say you're going out to eat and you're taking your family out to eat and you walk in the restaurant, there's somebody walking out, just smile and say hello. You know, you make that person's day, and you know the power of smiling, and sometimes they make your day. You have a little conversation, or your teenagers do. I think that's huge. The other tip I will give, if you go out to a restaurant, you know, maybe practice with your teenagers first at home a little bit. But let them place the order. Let them get used to ordering from the waiter or waitress, or calling that carryout order in, and maybe to practice with them a little bit first. But give your kids confidence. You know, don't do everything for them. And I think having them volunteer a little bit really lets them practice their social skills. Maybe just one little tip when they're volunteering. Just go up and introduce yourself to somebody, or just your goal today is smile and say hi to two people and give them that confidence, because the more they use those social skills, it's like your husband said, it's a muscle, the more they'll get comfortable with it. So those would be quick tips I would give. And I do have a parent's guide that's really quick and easy. If parents do want to work with their kids, with their, I shouldn't say kids, with their young adults on the skills in the book. And the reason I wrote that, a lot of parents asked for it. And I asked them, why do you want that? And they said, well, we don't want to have to come up with all the questions and activities. You know, we don't want to have to dig through the book. So it makes it really easy. But I think certain things, giving kids some chores, give them confidence. There's a lot of things I think that help teens as they get older gain confidence. And doing everything for a teenager does not help them.
Amen to that. What about for the teenagers? This is a two-part question. For teenagers who know that they need support, yet their parents are not necessarily in the position to give them the kind of support they need. Or on the flip side, what about parents who really want to support their children, or teenagers rather, yet the teenagers are very disengaged? How do you navigate that?
Well, two things, and those are two excellent questions. One thing I would do for the teen that I think you said wants support but is not getting the support, I think that was your first one. And there's a lot of teenagers in those situations who have parents that are busy working or maybe are not that engaged. I think finding a mentor, finding one person, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's an aunt or uncle. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's learning it on your own. Maybe it's picking up a book like mine or somebody else's book and taking a half hour every day and just learning, reading it. There's a lot of great YouTube videos out there. Sometimes, you know, I hate to say it, but sometimes there are parents who are really busy working and they're just not giving the kids that support. And I'm not blaming the parents, but if they can find a good mentor, and educators are really good at that, or somebody in the community, or like I said, a relative, and have them help them a little bit. You know, they're going to have to probably ask for a little help and just say, you know, can I ask you about this job interview I've got going, or whatever the question is. And for the other one is a tougher situation. If the teen isn't engaged with the parents and the parents want to offer support, that's a tough situation. I don't have an answer for that one. I almost think sometimes you have to dig and find the root of that problem. You know, what is bothering them? Because obviously there's something, and sometimes a therapist can find that out, but you or I can't. And I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer for that. I do think for a lot of young people, and I've heard this from, I talk to experts like yourself all around the country, educators that are psychiatrists, psychologists, and they all say the same thing. The best thing for a young adult is to have a part-time job, even if it's one afternoon a week, just to teach responsibility, give confidence, social skills, so they're not, when they graduate from college, terrified of going into the workforce. So I think that's one huge tip. But as far as the teen that's not engaged, I mean, all you can do is try and find out what do they enjoy, and try and get them into some activities that maybe they would enjoy based on what they're telling you. But it's hard to get kids to open up.
Yeah, it can be, for sure. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. I remember, back when I was teaching at university back in New Zealand, one of the things that a lot of our students, they didn't want to be there necessarily, but because a lot of them were second chance learners or had been incarcerated, and so were trying to navigate their way back into the real world, quote unquote.
Sure.
But when you give young people, or you know, anybody really, it doesn't have to be teenagers, adults alike, other ways to sort of pique their interest and join that interest to something positive and empowering, that magic can happen. You also said something else that made me smile a little bit about the job market and giving young people, you know, getting them a job. I shared the TEDx stage recently with a woman who argued that don't give don't give kids a job, encourage them to be entrepreneurs. And there, it made me smile because I'm like, yeah, giving young people autonomy over their growth and evolution, I think, is such a beautiful thing. Listen, I feel like we could talk for hours.
Like we could too.
Unfortunately, our time is up. Kurt, it's been such a pleasure, such a joy. Obviously, people can learn more about you at smilethebook.com, where, you know, you've got information on all of your books, all of your courses, all of your audiobooks. Yes. You know, if they do want to hire you as a keynote speaker or special guest, you know, people can get in touch with you there. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we part ways?
Well, I do want to share that I agree with that woman on TEDx who you shared the stage with, where being an entrepreneur, starting your own little business, whether it's mowing lawns or whatever it is for these young adults, huge confidence booster, lots of benefits. And if you can dig down with some of these teenagers, even if you're volunteering and they do, try and catch them doing something good and say, Brenda, that was terrific. You'll see them smile, they'll gain the confidence and they'll open up a little bit. It's you know, just one little bit of praise, genuine praise, really can change things for a teen. So that's one tip I would give you. Try and catch them doing something good and give them genuine praise, and you'll see them open up a little more.
I love that. Hey, thank you, Kurt. Really appreciate it. Again, be sure to check out smilethebook.com for all the information on Kurt. Until next time, friends, my name is Emma G. This is the Rethink with Your Teenager podcast. Until next week, be good, be kind, spread love, and I guess, you know, just don't forget to smile. See you later.
touching the ashes.